did, have you guys got faith for rain? You know, and they're like, ach, yeah, we, you know, we sort of have. And, but I guess when you're a farmer, the farmers around here will know that it's not easy. But so I went home, and the first night we prayed, you know, my parents asked me to pray for the meals, to thank God for the meal we're about to eat. So every meal we eat, we pray for rain, and I really trusted the Lord for rain. So the first 2 days it didn't rain. The third day, second last day we were there, this afternoon it starts to build up, and I said to Esther, I said, yes, this looks good. Lord, the Lord is answering our prayers. And that afternoon there was like a flash, and my brother's just planted these called crop dams, where he's planting lucerne in these crop dams, and so it needs to flood and fill up the dam and go into the next dam. And so you need like quite a lot of runoff rain to make these things work. It's not, it won't really do with soft rain, so you need hard rain. So we prayed, and that afternoon it started to build up, and within a few minutes there was just this flash flood of like probably 15 to 20 millimeters. Must have been even harder in the mountains, because suddenly the river comes down. Like, we can't even drive through the river. The water's running. Like, they haven't had rain for 9 months. April was the last time they had rain. So it's bone dry in the Karoo. And yeah, this flood comes, and or this flash flood of a few minutes literally, and the river comes down that we can't even drive through the river where you're normally supposed to drive through from the one farm to the other. And these crop dams are starting to fill up, so much so that in fact some of the walls actually broke of the furrows where he made the furrows and the sluices. The walls actually broke. It was such a powerful lot of water coming down. And it was just so amazing. The next day he's ready to plant, and he wants to plant his lucerne, and he's so excited. And so my parents are like, yes, but it seems like every time you come, like, you know, it rains. Like, and I'm like, well, you know, thank Jesus. So my dad says, thank you for bringing the rain. You know, my mom's like, thank you for bringing the rain. And I'm like, well don't thank me. Thank Jesus. He's the one who makes the rain. And I kept telling them that. And then my dad says, no, but you were the agent. You were the agent. And I'm like, okay, just forget about your false humility now, and just receive it, and just praise God, and just thank God. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. I've entitled my message, God's Change Agents. And yes, it isn't about us. Life isn't primarily about us, okay? It is about God. And I believe this year is the year where God wants to be more and us less, amen? But it's not to say that we must be nothing. If God is God, then we need to say, God, you want to use me. You want to use me as a change agent in 2019. Amen. Can I have an amen? God wants to use us. God primarily uses people to make a change. Amen. And it's not a false humility. Ach, God, you'll do it anyway. No, God is not going to do it anyway. He's going to choose someone to do it. Amen. And if we don't want to be used by God, God will find someone to be used by him this year. And I believe, When my dad said this to me, I just realized, you know, it stirred faith in me again that God does want to use us. Even if it's a simple prayer, even if it's a simple act of obedience, God wants to use us to be agents. Not estate agents, not travel agents. We've got enough of those. He wants us to be change agents. Tell someone next to you and say, God wants you to be a change agent. Throughout the Bible, God has used people to be his agents of change. And I want to look at one story this morning, an amazing story from the book of Acts. Now, I want to thank Stephen Gooch. It's his fault that I read through the book of Acts this holiday. Okay. So thanks, Steve. So as elders, we decided, thanks to Steve, that we're going to read through the book of Acts in the holidays. I don't know how many of you did. We put it in our newsletter and said, join us in reading through the book of Acts and seeing how the first church operated, seeing how God wants a church to operate. And so I read through the book of Acts, and I got to the story again. I know the story, and it's an amazing story from Acts chapter 10. And I was just reminded again of just how amazing God is. And in fact, this story, as Gentiles, we should be so thankful for this story. Anyone here a Jew, like a pure Jew? Because if you're not a Jew here this morning, you should be thankful for this story, that you can have a relationship with Jesus this morning, a relationship with God. So you can turn with me to Acts chapter 10, reading from verse 1, and I'm not going to read the whole, all 48 verses this morning. It will take a bit long, but I'm going to go through the story of Cornelius from Acts chapter 10, the story of Peter and Cornelius. A significant story where history seemed to be on the brink of changing at this time. And up to now, the gospel had only been preached to the Jews, and the Jews were resisting, and the Jews were struggling with this fact that Jesus had already come and that he was the Messiah, and some of them received the gospel, some of them rejected it, and some of them wanted to kill all the people that were preaching about this Jesus. But yeah, it starts and it says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people, prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? He said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa, send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. And so when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. We'll take a pause there. I haven't put all the scriptures on the slides I showed, so just follow in your Bibles if you have one. If you don't have a Bible, just sit next to a believer, please. Amen. Otherwise, take out your phone if you really have to. Okay, so yeah, we have the story of this guy called Cornelius, and it's very specific. It describes this man called Cornelius. He was a soldier, first of all. He was a Roman soldier, right? A military guy. Interesting that the Jews hated specifically those guys, Roman soldiers. So he has a Roman soldier, and he's told to go to this Jewish guy. I mean, that's amazing. That is like freaky. So he mobilizes his people like a good leader. He doesn't go himself. He sends people, and he says, you need to call this guy called Peter, and he's lodging with this tanner, whose name is also Simon. And so all of this happens, and then the next day, and we'll read the scripture together on the board from you. The next day, it says, say the next day. As they went on their journey and drew near the city. So these guys sent by Cornelius, this Roman centurion. He sends these guys and they draw near to the city. And so Peter, this is now Joppa, the city of Joppa. So Peter is up on the housetop. He's praying about the sixth hour. Anyone know when the sixth hour was? 12 o'clock at noon. What do you normally feel at 12 o'clock at noon? You feel a little bit hungry, right? So it says here, Peter became very hungry and he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and he saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let him down and let down to the earth. In it were all sorts of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, rise, Peter. Kill and eat. What was Peter doing? Peter was busy praying like he used to do every day, it seemed. The Jews normally had two seasons of prayer or two times of prayer. There was in the morning and the evening. But it seems like the more committed, the more passionate Jews prayed three times a day. Probably at the third hour, the sixth hour, and then again at the ninth hour. 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and again 3 o'clock in the afternoon. In Psalm 55 verse 7, David writes, he says, evening and morning and at noon I will cry aloud and pray to you. Even Daniel kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed to the Lord. And it seemed like the passionate early church believers prayed three times a day. I believe Peter was earnestly seeking God. Amen. Peter was earnestly seeking God. It wasn't about praying. It was about seeking God. And I believe that if God is calling us to be his change agents, I believe there's one thing, and I believe this is the most important thing. We'll get to four things this morning, just out of the story. But the first thing I believe God wants to show us out of this, when he wants to use us to be his change agents, is that we need to seek God with everything. And it's not to say that you must not try to pray three times a day. It's not about being ritual and legalistic about this, but it's time to seek God, friends. Peter sought God. And I believe when we seek God, what does he do? He captivates us and he takes us into another world. Peter fell into a trance, and that wasn't a weird trance. It was just a spiritual trance. He just forgot about his hunger. He forgot about everything else that this world had to offer, and he went into this trance. Even if it's for just a few moments. And I believe God wants to captivate us even if it's just for a few moments. And yeah, he's hungry And suddenly his hunger is not a factor anymore. He's captivated by his master. And I want to ask you this morning, what are you hungry for this year? Because one thing that characterized the early church is that they were devoted to seeking God. You can call it prayer, you can call it intercession, you can call it devotion, you can call it whatever. There's lots of words. It's not about praying, it's about seeking God. I believe we will pray if we seek God. Amen. But Peter went up to pray and he sought God. And guess what God does when we seek him? Anyone know? He starts to share with us. In fact, he shares his heart with us. He shared a massive heart with Peter. He shared his incredible heart for the whole world. He said the gospel isn't just for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles as well. You see, God is always ready for us. The question is, are we ready for him? This holiday, I wanted to spend some quality time with Nathan the one day. And I didn't only spend one day with Nathan. I spent a couple of times with Nathan. But this one day, I forgot about everything that I had to do. And I was like really wanting to spend time with Nathan. But Nathan was not quite ready for me because he had other things to do. TV was one of them. I'm like, me or TV? It's like, yo, is that like even a choice? But sometimes our kids choose TV or anything else above us as parents. And I'm like a bit disappointed because I'm like, yo, Nathan, have I been a bad dad to you or what? You know, like. And then the Lord just reminded me, sometimes that's exactly how it is with us. Because Nathan knows I'm his dad. Nathan knows I'm providing for him. Nathan's like, he's not worried. He's not like double-minded about whether I'm his dad or not. I'm his dad. But now I'm ready to spend time with him and he's not quite ready to spend time with me. And the Lord just told me, you know, he's like that as a dad. He sometimes feels like that about me and about all his children. His children aren't always ready to spend time with him. And as people, often we get busy with a lot of other stuff. We've got amazing stuff that we've been called for and amazing things that we're doing. Life is happening and it's awesome. But the Father in heaven wants to sometimes, in fact, he's always ready to spend time with us. Despite his busy schedule. Imagine the master of the universe, how busy he is. Eh? But he's always got time for us. But do we have time for him? Are we ready for him? And are we willing to seek him? Because I can tell you he's going to share vision upon vision, word upon word with us this year. Amen. That's what I see out of the scripture. We spend time with God. He shares with us. And you know what's interesting? Cornelius was exactly the same. Cornelius was a man of prayer, even though he wasn't saved. But he was earnestly seeking God. And guess what? God revealed himself to him through an angel. And God showed Peter this amazing vision. And I want to put out your faith this year and stir all our faith. Let's seek God and let's receive visions from God. Let's receive plans from God. Amen. As his change agents. He's gonna show his heart to us. Not only for us, but he's gonna show his heart for other people. Let this year be a year of seeking God, friends. So God is speaking to Peter, and guess what? Peter's now in his mindset, right? He's stuck. He's a Jew. He's like, the Lord goes, come, you can rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he's like, supposed to be hungry now, you know. Maybe God tried to catch him at a bad time when, you know, or a wrong time because he's hungry. So he'll just go for this food that God is providing for him. And he says, God, I'm so committed. I'm a Jew. I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Voice spoke to him again the second time. He says, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. In my Bible, it's written in red. It seems like Jesus speaks in red. Voice of Jesus, according to this Bible. You know, the red letter version, Jesus speaking. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Interesting that Jesus himself was the one who died on the cross to cleanse all mankind. To say all mankind can come in. It's not only Jews. Three times it happened and the object was taken up into heaven again. See, Peter had an incorrect mindset. He had a Jewish mindset, which God wanted to specifically change. Half of Acts is about God trying to change this Jewish mindset through his people and through the unbelievers, through the Jewish unbelievers. Wanted to change this mindset to show that he's come for the nations. He's chosen the Jews to be his agents of change, but he wants all nations to come in. And you see, We all have stuff. We all have mindsets. We all have pride in our lives that God wants to change. Amen. I'm speaking here to believers. Not to, because we want the unbelievers to change. We want other people out there to change. The second thing I believe God wants us to do this year is He wants us to be like Peter, to be willing to change. Because look what happened. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing. I have sent them." There's a saying that goes like this: if you always do what you've always done, then you'll always get what you've always got. Anyone heard of that? At the beginning of this year, let's not always do the same things, because otherwise we'll get the same things. But I want to say to you, apply this to your character. Apply this to who you are as a person. Let's not be the same people we've always been. Amen. Because so many times we want to do something different to get different results, and you will get different results if you do something different. Why don't we say to us, let us be someone different. Let's allow God to change us. Amen. Isn't that amazing to change? It's difficult. Because we love the stuff we love, you know, and we love being good at what we're good at, and we love sometimes being good at bad stuff. But let's let God change us this year, because He wants us to be someone different, someone better. But only God can change us, and this change must happen from the inside out, otherwise it's just window dressing, and window dressing isn't nice. It's not the real thing. But Peter here was willing to change. And isn't it amazing that God chooses a Gentile who represents something, as I said earlier, that the Jews hated, a military commander. And yeah, Peter has to go out of his comfort zone and obey God and speak to this guy. But you see, God took Peter on a journey of change. Firstly, Peter was staying at the home of a Christian brother who was a tanner. The Jews viewed tanners specifically as unclean. Why? Because they had daily contact with animal skins and their houses smelt bad. That's why those guys found the house, because they just found the house that smelt the worst. But so here he is. Peter's staying with this other guy called Simon. So God starts to take him on a journey of change. He says, "Peter, I want you to change your mindset that you're so stuck in." And then the Lord repeats this vision three times so that He can start to tell Peter, "Peter, this is really from Me. I want you to change your mindset." And just after that, the vision ends, and there the guys arrive. And Peter could have told them, "Listen, yeah, there's a local Gentile motel somewhere. Yeah, you know, you're not going to stay at our house. We Jews. So go stay at the Gentile place." But what he didn't do that. He actually started to invite him in. He said, "Come. They can stay with them." What are the areas in your life that God needs to change? Think about it this year. Don't do the same things or be the same person this year. Because if you want to really be God's change agent, which I believe each one of you are, amen. Each one of you as believers this morning, even unbelievers, God wants to use unbelievers, but God wants to use His people as His change agents. But are you willing to change this year? Are you willing to change your mindset? Are you willing to let go of pride or stuff that's even worked, but it's not from God? God is wanting to change it. Let this year be a year where all of us are willing to change. As Peter was coming in, so now Peter goes with these guys. And so now he goes to this guy called Cornelius. He finds his house and he comes in, and guess what Cornelius does? He falls down at his feet and he worships Peter. How many of us in that situation would say, "Yeah, you know what? I deserve this worship. I deserve all this fame. I've come all this way. I've sacrificed. I'm going across barriers here. I'm changing. I'm like, I need this worship." Peter was quick to direct this worship. And what did he say? He says, he lifts him up and he said, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and he found many who had come together. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." It's amazing. Peter had the ability by the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God in his life to start to identify with other people. He didn't look down on Cornelius and say, "You know, I'm a Jew, I'm superior to you." He never did that. He never let them as Gentiles feel inferior to him as a Jew. Isn't that amazing? Because the Jews did think that they were superior. But Peter didn't embrace that mindset. He started to change and he started to realize God wants to connect with other people. What did he do? He says, I am a man, just like you. Peter identified with this guy through his humanity and he recognized that he was also a man. It's like that good saying that Angus Buchan always shares. He says, you know, evangelism is just one hungry beggar telling another hungry beggar where to get food. I don't think it's about evangelism. I think it's about everything. It's about we are hungry beggars as believers, needing Jesus and telling other people, you know what, I've just found Jesus, but I so need him. In fact, I need him more now than I used to. And you also need him. You're also a man. You're also a person. It sounds very much like what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ laid down his godliness, or his, not his godliness, his the fact that he was God and he came to be a man and identified with us. The third thing I believe God is calling us to do this year, to be his excellent change agents, is that we can start to identify with people that are different to us. Amen. There's racism starting to flare up again in this country like never before, it feels. Isn't that so? Just look at the news. Look at campuses. Watch campus this year again. What card do they play? The racism card. Wherever there's tension, it feels like we're like in this thing of racism card again. It's racism. It's at its worst. I don't know if it's at its worst. I think it's just being exposed. But I believe the gospel and in identifying with other people, I believe that is what is going to change lives. When we don't bring a racism mindset or a Jew-Gentile mindset, we bring a kingdom mindset and we start to identify with other people. But let's do that deliberately this year, friends. Let's do what Peter did and take guys with us. Peter didn't go alone. He took a team with. So that he wasn't exposed, so that what happened there could be recorded, could be witnessed, that something special is happening. There's an identification with other people here. You see, the law stated that Jewish people could not keep company with non-Jews. So that was right. Peter had the right to obey that law. It wasn't wrong. It was the Jewish law, but yet Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do not call any man common or unclean. I've fulfilled that law. That law is done away with on the cross. I want to reach the Gentiles. And something of Christ must have been formed in Peter. The fact that he could do this. The fact that he could go to this Gentile Roman soldier. It's a miracle. At the end of last year, I went to a friend of mine, Jan Kriel. Some of you know Jan Kriel. I went to his dad's funeral. And one thing that was so profound for me was his dad and his uncle both preach in Zulu passionately. And his uncle did the funeral, preached in Zulu, and he did a bit of Afrikaans as well. But I could see it's like Afrikaans is just, he's doing it. But the Zulu, when he preached in Zulu, I couldn't understand a word, but I could understand that he was passionate. He preached like this is what he's called for. He preached like as if he's a Zulu man. And those people responded. Those people loved it. And I just what it was touched me is that these two white Afrikaans men decided to give their lives for another culture, decided to go across cultural barriers for the sake of the gospel. And it was one of the most powerful demonstrations of the gospel for me to see how this family had a heart for other people and went across the cultural barrier. Learned another language. And it's not all of our calling. And I'm not saying all of us must go and live in another culture or, you know, preach to another culture. But all of us can have a change of mind. All of us can start to identify with other people of a different culture. Amen. I believe God wants Shofar Bloemfontein to be identified by its ability to identify with different people. By its ability to be multicultural. Not just a certain type of church or a certain group of people coming together. Let this year be a year of identifying with those different from us. So what happened? Yeah, the climax is about to happen. Peter goes in and there's a readiness to receive the gospel. Take a note that Cornelius was ready. His whole family was ready. There was a divine providence here. God spoke to one man, he spoke to another man, and he got them together, and boom, something amazing happened. God is not into random stuff, friends. God is into divine providence, divine connections. And this year, I believe God wants to connect us as individuals, but even as a church, divinely. Imagine the Cornelius that, and the Corneliuses and the family of Corneliuses that he's got ready for us as a church and as individuals this year. Maybe even in another nation, maybe even in somewhere far away, maybe even in the next door house that you never knew about. There's a Cornelius right there. But what did Peter do? These guys are hungry and they're ready to receive what Peter said. So Peter goes and he preaches the full gospel. What did he preach? He preached that God shows no partiality. Guess what? All have sinned before him and need a savior. Isn't that good news? None of us are superior or inferior. We can all receive the gospel. Not everyone will receive the gospel, but we can all receive the gospel because God shows no partiality. God is doesn't have favorites. So what does Peter preach? He preaches that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is that Savior. That God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. You can read it in verse 38. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing everyone who was oppressed by the devil. Why? Because God was with him. And then he goes on to say, this Jesus was crucified, but God raised him from the dead on the third day, and we are witnesses to this, says Peter. We witnessed this with our own eyes. Not everyone witnessed it, but we witnessed it. And guess what he told us? Verse 42, we read together, and he commanded us to preach to the people. He commanded us to preach to the people. And to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. It says here, whoever believes in him. Turn to someone next to you and say, whoever believes in him. And Peter is scarcely finished with his sermon. And what happens? Doesn't even have to make an altar call. He doesn't even have to convince the people. Why? Because there's a readiness. Cornelius and his family and his whole household are ready. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And guess who heard the word? Everyone was in that room. Heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. Just think of it. The Jews who were with Peter were like, what is happening here? Suddenly there's a shift in the history of the world. God is not only for the Jews. He seems to be for the Gentiles. Because not only has he granted them salvation, he's actually given them the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is weird. This is amazing. You can imagine the mindsets that were being shifted right there. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to shift some mindsets this year. Amen. The Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them what? They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter answered and said, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. One of the most powerful outpourings of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Apart from what happened in Pentecost, but this was like a mini Pentecost for the Gentiles. And I believe God wants us, as his agents of change, to be focused on preaching the gospel, guys. Amen. Do you believe in the power of the gospel? Because then you will shout the gospel. If you believe that the Cheetahs are a good rugby team, you will tell people that the Cheetahs are a good rugby team. I don't know if many people are telling people that Cheetahs are a good rugby team at the moment. But you will tell people that the Springboks are going to possibly win the World Cup. Most of the All Blacks supporters will say they believe the All Blacks will win the World Cup. But if you believe something, if you're convinced of something, and you know, sport comes and goes, people win and lose, but you know what, there's one who will never lose. And there's a message that will never lose, a message that will never not achieve its purpose, and that's the gospel. Isn't that amazing to preach the gospel? Isn't that amazing to know the gospel? Let this year be a year, friends, where we preach the gospel more than ever before. Just want to read a story of a guy called Hudson Armading. He was the president of Wheaton College in the 1960s. The story goes as follows. In the late 1960s, there was a lot of cultural upheaval that resulted in a wide gap between the younger and the older generations, both in attitude and in appearance. And Hudson Armading was the president of Wheaton College. He had fought for America's liberty during World War II, and as a member of that generation, he was conservative in his grooming and his attire. He also despised the countercultural movement because to him it represented unpatriotic draft resistors, flag burners, and the like. So he did not like it when students dressed in grubby countercultural fashion. Also, he thought that it was biblically inappropriate for men to have long hair. But the staff at Wheaton was trying to permit a degree of liberty among the students on this matter. One day, Armading was scheduled to speak in chapel. Just before the service, they gathered for prayer. Just before they began, a young man walked in who had a beard and long hair, and he was wearing a sash around his waist with sandals on his feet. Armading looked at him, and he was sorry that he had come in. Worse yet, the student sat down right next to the president. And when they started praying, Armading's attitude was not very good. So the young man began to pray, and he said, "Dear Lord, you know how much I admire Dr. Armading, how I appreciate his walk with you. I'm grateful for what a man of God he is and how he loves you and loves your people. Lord, bless him today. Give him liberty in the Holy Spirit and make him a real blessing to all of us in the student body. Help us to have open hearts to hear what he has to say, and may we do what you want us to do." So as Armading walked down the steps to go into the chapel, the Lord spoke to him about his attitude. And after giving his message, he asked the young man to come to the platform. A ripple of whispering went through the students, many of whom thought that the president was going to dismiss the young man. But rather than rebuking him or dismissing him, everyone, including the young man, was surprised when Dr. Armading put his arms around him, embraced him as a brother in Christ. It broke up the chapel service as students stood and applauded, cried, and embraced one another. God used that simple act of one man laying aside his prejudice to turn the mood on campus to greater love and acceptance of one another. Dr. Armading later learned that this young man had adopted his appearance in order to reach some of his generation who were alienated from God and the church. Guys, I believe God wants us to be his change agents. Amen. I believe he wants you to be his change agent this year. And he wants you to be his change agent for the rest of your life. But it's gonna take a little bit of a cost. Amen. It won't take the same old, it will take us to be like Peter, who was passionate for Jesus, on fire, got baptized with the Spirit, seeking God. But in that seeking, God changed him. I don't know about you, I'm sure many of you have testimonies, even of last year, of how God changed you. God's changed your mind. Through the holidays, God has given you a new revelation of him. That is awesome. Keep going. Keep seeking God. Just like Janneke this morning, this precious little innocent, pure little baby who hasn't been spotted by the world yet is growing up as a change agent, a potential change agent for God. And I believe God, for some of us, even wants us to start afresh this morning and say, "You know what, you failed and you've tried and you've been disappointed, but you know what, I want you to be a change agent this year again. I want you to start this year with a faith and a belief that I want to use you." Each one of you sitting here, turn to someone next to you and say, "God wants to use you." And he doesn't want to abuse you. He doesn't want to make it difficult for you. He goes by your faith. If you don't see chance for something, God will never force it upon you. God doesn't force you to do stuff, but he's inviting us to be like Peter and to be a change agent, possibly a change agent for history. Just in those 3 days, history changed and the Gentiles heard the gospel. Not because ultimately of Peter, but because of this amazing God that we serve. Because God set it up. God set up Cornelius. God prepared Cornelius, a man also seeking God. God prepared Peter, seeking God. And he said, "You know what, I believe in you. I want to use you. You're a stiff-necked Jew, but you know what, I believe in you. I can still use you. Because I have the ability to change you." So God believed in Peter. And God believes in you, friend, this morning. For 2019, he believes that you can be his change agent. But I want to recap again and I want to remind us. So make this commitment this year. Make it a commitment and don't put a burden on yourself, but say, Lord, help me to, number one, to seek you with everything I had. And when we prayed earlier, it came out time and again, God, this year we want to seek you. We want to live, I love someone prayed to be an obsession. Lord, you must be our obsession. Make you, Lord, our obsession this year. We want you to be our obsession. We want to seek you more than ever before. Let this year be a year where you seek God. And then secondly, when you seek God, guess what? God is going to speak to you. He's going to show you stuff, but he's going to say, you know what, Pepu? You know what? Esther? Michelle? Chris? I want to change you. I want to change you. Let this year be a year where we are changed in the presence of God. Let us remain humble. Let us say, God, use me in my weaknesses and my strength. But yeah, Lord, change me. And guess what? When we change, God will respond and he'll say, okay, go across. Go across your comfort zone. Go out of your comfort zone. Go to a different culture. But identify with someone who's different from you. Identify with someone who you can't even identify with in the natural, but it's only God who can do it. Think practically. Let's be rich people identifying with poor people. Let's be poor people identifying with rich people. Let's be blacks identifying with whites or coloreds or whatever your skin color. Let's be students identifying with adults. People who have long forgotten their student days, but let's go to students. Let's be on campus. Let's identify with what's happening on campus, families. And students, get into a family's home. Come visit us. Come and reach out to the family. See how our lives are a little bit busier than yours, just by the way. 3 kids, 4 kids, 5 kids. No, we're going to stop at 3, okay? But let's identify with just someone who's different. Let's not be stuck in a mindset. Let's really be a family this year. And then as a church, let's go to the nations where God sent us. Let's go to Uganda. Let's go to Lesotho. Let's identify like Ferdi and Lulu are living with different people. That's a massive step. And not everyone's called for that, but let's just walk across the room. Let's step aside into someone in our sphere of influence and say, you know what, I want to spend time with you. I want to get to know you. I want to hear how you think. Because my mindset sucks sometimes. I'm so focused and I'm so stuck in my mind. But God is busy changing me. And then lastly, let's make this year a year where we preach the gospel. Amen. Because those opportunities will come. You will be seeking God. God will send you or change your heart first of all, because if you need to be a change agent, you need to change yourself. Amen. And then you'll identify with someone else and then you can preach the gospel. There will be an opportunity to preach the gospel. Don't miss that opportunity. Don't try to please people by not telling them the truth. In fact, we're doing people a disfavor if we don't tell them the truth. Let's preach the truth. Let's preach Jesus can change them. We cannot. But let's show them that we have changed ourselves. Let's be a demonstration, not of someone preaching from a distance, but someone preaching from a real life encounter, a vision from the Lord. And I believe God wants to stir us again with the fire of the gospel. He's going to start with us. He's going to change our lives in a vision on a rooftop somewhere and show his heart for you and his heart for the whole world. Let's make it a year where we preach the gospel more than ever before. And let's make it a year where we can be God's change agents. Can we close our eyes as the band comes forward?